Well, hello there, Wardville Community Church. It's Monday, April 17th, 2023. This is In the Know, episode 69, the one before 70. Let's do a handful of announcements. Standard boilerplate announcements here. April 19th, Wednesday night, you're going to be ladies at Lily's house. Her address is in near Tioga. I think it's technically in Dry Prong, 59 Friar Tuck Road. If you need more information about that, let me know. 6:30 p.m. April 19th. Please plan to be there. Next Wednesday night, April 26th, men's gathering, location TBD at 6:30 p.m. This Friday, Love the Boot cleanup on Bayou Maria Road, 5:30 p.m. Free Pizza Friday afterward. Then April the 30th and May 7th, joint technology conference with Kingsville Baptist Church at their church building. Childcare is provided. That is running from 5 to 7 p.m. Last thing, we have plate lunches available, $10 a pop. You can sign up for that. The deadline to sign up is also this Friday. And pickup for that will be next Friday, the 28th, from 11 to 12 at our building. Okay, let's jump into a little bit of sermon follow-up from Isaiah's sermon on Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. Let me start out with the idea of not a theological category. I thought Isaiah made a really good point yesterday that I want to expound on a bit. He talked about infants in the faith not being a doctrinal category, but a way of referring to people who need to be warned. Right, so he says it's not as though being an immature Christian is somehow a viable option in which a Christian can remain for all his or her life. No, this author expects more from them. They have been Christians long enough and have been trained in the scriptures enough that it appears, enough that they should be teachers, but currently it appears that they're treading water in the faith. Something that can happen for a period of time, but can't happen indefinitely, right? So this is how I'm thinking about this. When you're treading water, you have two choices. Either you can start swimming or you're going to drown. You try to make progress towards safety or you're going to drown. And he desperately wants them to swim. Of course, right? People who have just become believers have room for sanctification, and we don't expect the same thing from those type of kind of baby Christians in the terms of they, you know, as we think about them, they just became believers yesterday or, you know, within the last couple of years. We don't have the same expectations for them as the seasoned believer who's known Christ for 50 years. We expect more from those Christians who have been Christians longer. So of course we have room for sanctification for everyone, especially people who just became Christians. If there is a category of baby Christians, it's those people, not the people to whom this author is writing, right? For most of the people in this author's audience, as well as many modern day believers who would say they were raised in church and converted at an early age, like there's an expectation that they will have grown in their understanding of the scriptures, their ability to put God's word into practice, and in their actual relationship with Christ. In the same way that children naturally just grow up when fed properly and taught, this is what God just does with his people, with his children. We do not have the luxury or the option of hiding beneath the cover of, quote, being a baby Christian or, quote, being an immature Christian for the entirety of our lives before Christ, right? We can't tread water indefinitely. We can't remain in this state of dull hearing forever. Like one of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to sense that warning and we're going to push through and appeal to Christ for help in hearing, and we're going to become hearers, indeed true hearers, listeners to the word, or we're going to walk away. We're going to drown or we're going to swim. we can't tread water forever. I just hit my water bottle. I don't know if you know what it looks like when I'm recording this, but basically what it looks like when I'm preaching. I wave my arms just as much doing this as I do from the pulpit. We have a deep need to deepen and mature in our walks with the Lord. If you felt conviction yesterday or perceived that maybe you have a personal need of growth in maturity, let me remind you that the same Jesus who's high priest you ought to be able to teach people about, using the words of this text, that same Jesus is the one whose high priesthood means that you can appear before the throne of his Father, and that from that throne of grace, you can receive mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. In other words, when you feel the gracious gift of conviction from the Holy Spirit related to his word, just flee to Christ, your sympathetic, merciful, faithful, and forever high priest in repentance and faith, and he will receive and help you. That is the beginning of the path toward maturity. Let's talk about becoming skilled in the word of righteousness. I want to build upon some of what Isaiah said yesterday toward the end of his sermon. It will tie together with many themes of his sermon and what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. We have a need. Also, part of growing in maturity, we have a need to have our senses trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Like, this is part of what it means to mature in Christ. And the path to becoming skilled in the word of righteousness is different maybe than what you might think. It's not just hearing more teaching, but it's obedient. It's putting that teaching into practice. We are told what to do by the word. And as we constantly practice it, we actually grow in our skill with his word. The more we know, the more we will act on it, if we know truly. And the more we act on it, the more we will know of it. The Reformation Study Bible is helpful with a study note there underneath this verse that says, the maturity needed to grasp Christ's priestly ministry is not intellectual sophistication, but spiritual discernment arising from consistent obedience to God's will. James will say it this way, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James 1:22. This verse from James actually gets at the difference between hearing and listening, with one being the physical process of sound waves hitting the hearing apparatus of the ear and being represented by intelligible sounds in the brain, and the other meaning taking in those sounds, reflecting on them, allowing them to shape you, believing and treasuring them, and then acting on them, right? Hearing versus listening. If we are hearers only, we're like Israel who physically heard the good news but didn't receive benefit from it because they didn't believe it and act on it. Hebrews 4:2 and 6. What we know then is that they did not have real genuine faith, because that's the argument James is making. To believe the word is to do it, right? Faith without works is dead. And that's what the author is getting at here too. We won't mature. The word that we hear won't have its full effect in us if we don't truly listen with faith and with the intent to act on it and then the follow through to act on it. We obey. Remember how that word is related to hearing. We obey the one who learned obedience through suffering, and we are trained and become experienced and skilled in the word of righteousness, so that even if we do not occupy the role of a teacher, we are mature like those who are called upon to teach, and we are able to teach these things, right? So perhaps you aren't a teacher in position or role, but here's an illustration. In my biology class in college, our professor chose a handful of students to lead these like study sessions prior to exams. And I happened, believe me, by God's grace, to be one of those selected to lead a study session. So we acted as tutors of our peers at the teacher's discretion and direction, because we displayed a measure of facility and understanding of what he had been teaching. So it's not that I became a teacher, per se. I was chosen as one of a handful of students by the teacher to be a tutor, someone who comes alongside his peers and helps them internalize and study and learn the things. Some, maybe another voice to help explain what's been taught. Like, I did not come and teach new things in biology. I retaught and helped people relearn and or learn for the first time or internalize what they had already learned in class, right? This is like, maybe you're not going to stand up and preach, but we need people that we can pass people off to when they need counseling. We need people who will do word ministry toward one another with encouragement or rebuke, right? That's what church discipline is. At its beginning, it's a brother going to a brother in private, showing them their fault so that they win their brother over to the path of righteousness. Like, these things are important and they build up the church, right? Perhaps there are others around you who need a tutor in the word of righteousness. And through your maturity, because you've been obeying and you've been hearing, truly hearing and obeying the word of righteousness, you can have skill in it. So you can be mature and you could be that tutor. How are you benefiting our body with your own ministry of the word of righteousness? And the last thing quickly that I want to talk about is dull of hearing. One thing I thought of as Isaiah preached yesterday was how the author tells his audience that it is hard to explain. Now, when we say that, a lot of times we mean it's hard for me to explain. Like, I don't have the words for it, or I don't maybe understand it as fully as I should to be able to explain it. But that's not what's going on here, right? The reason it's hard to explain for this author is not that he doesn't understand. And it's not that he doesn't have the words or the ability to express these truths. And it certainly isn't a fault in the word itself, right? These things that he's talking about are biblical and true, and God's word is perfect. So what's the problem? He says the reason it's hard to explain is that the hearers aren't listening properly. Their hearing has grown dull, lazy, or sluggish. They are, in other words, on the path toward hardening their hearts against hearing the voice of God. Maybe they're not hardened yet, but it's not many steps away when you've become lazy. You become complacent about it. You don't care about it. You don't hunger for it. You don't desire it. There's only a few steps to go until your heart is hardened against the voice of God. This is a scary place to be for the people of God, and the author is trying to call them out of that at the risk of sounding silly and rhymy and Baptist-y. This is a holy kick in the rear to get them in gear. And that's what he's doing. He's calling them babies. He's saying, you ought to be teachers, but you need teachers. You should be eating solid food, but you're still needing milk because you haven't grown and matured as you're supposed to. And the whole point is, so repent and get in gear. And so we kind of land where we started. If you feel conviction over these things, the first step toward getting out of these things is come to Christ in repentance. So let's grow in our love for Christ, in our maturity, in our skill in his word of righteousness. Let's grow together in those things. And let's do the ministry of the word to one another. This is what we were made for. God intends for us all to be a gift to one another. So let's step in to all that God has for us. Have a great week. I love you, people.